Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, Love Your Enemies. Love Your Enemies. Matthew 5:43, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Now, it is true that Leviticus 19:18 specifically says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But nowhere did the law command, "Hate your enemy." The Jews thought it was implied that Israel's enemies were God's enemies, and therefore they should be hated. They got this from places like Psalm 139, where David said, Psalm 139, 21, 22, "Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies." Bible Knowledge Commentary says, quote, "The Pharisees thus implied that their hatred was God's means of judging their enemies. But Jesus stated that Israel should demonstrate God's love even to her enemies, a practice not even commanded in the Old Testament." End of quote. He continues, Matthew 5:44. "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Christ acknowledges that we will have enemies. And who are they? Well, they are the people who curse you, who hate you, who spitefully use you and persecute you. A lovely bunch of people, to be sure. This may be the hardest commandment given in the Bible. Like I say, it's not found in the Old Testament. This is really radical stuff. We can more easily understand the command to love our brother. But our enemy? That's radical. The Greek word for love in the command, love your enemies, is the word agape. It is the intense word for love. It is not based on emotions, which is a good thing because sometimes it's very hard to get the emotions to feel loving when people are abusing you. Agape love is based on the will. It chooses to love, and it seeks the other person's highest good in spite of their actions. This is God's kind of love. Loving your enemies responds with blessing them when they curse you. That is not easy to do. When someone curses you, the most natural thing in the world is to want to curse back. Let me give you a piece of my mind. But remember the example of Jesus. As his enemies were crucifying him, he prayed, quote, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Luke 23:34. Stephen, the first martyr of the church, as he was dying, said, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." Acts 7:60. 1 Peter 3:9 says, "Not returning evil for evil, but reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." You were called to this. ESV Study Bible, these blessings are intended to lead unbelievers to repentance. Of course, there is a sense in which God hates those who are resolutely and impenitently wicked. But God's blessings of common grace constitute his primary providential action toward mankind here and now. End of quote. When I was a brand new Christian, I worked with a close friend who did not appreciate my conversion. He liked the old Dwight and not the new Dwight. When I got saved, he told me that I had messed in my own nest, using sanitized language, and made it clear he wanted nothing to do with me. When I would come into the shop in the morning, I would say, "Good morning," and he would turn his head the other way. This went on day after day for a long time. So it happened in those early days of my salvation that I started memorizing three verses each day, and one of my memory verses was Matthew 5:44. "I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." So when he would do this, I would pray for him. One day he was in a situation where he needed some help. He needed someone to help him. And being desperate, I guess he was desperate, he asked me to help him. Well, I promptly told him that because he had been treating me so badly, I would never help him and that those who abuse God's servants in this way are headed for hell. Just kidding. Of course I didn't do that. Rather, I told him that I would be glad to help him. And that broke the ice. After that, he was civil to me. We were never again close friends, but he was always civil. Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus said to respond in this way, Matthew 5:45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. The sense here is that you may become sons. The sense here is not that you may become sons, but that you may reflect that you indeed are sons of your Father in heaven. Verse 48 shows that Christ is addressing those who have already have God as their Father. Those that truly know God as Father should show a moral resemblance to Him. God loves unconditionally, and so should we. This is Godlike, and it is to be indicative of His children. God causing the sun to rise on those who are evil as well as on those who are good, and in Him sending rain on the just and the unjust is what theologians often refer to as God's common grace. God loves everyone. He is gracious to all. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, Romans 5:10. God loves the unlovely. He loves sinners and He wants to save them. We as God's children should reflect God's disposition toward the lost. It is good to constantly remind ourselves that Jesus died for them too. He died for your worst enemies, even as we were His enemies when He died for us. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.